Sometimes listening to Jason Moran's piano playing can be mesmerizing. In his show at the Whitney, once you're past the outer room and into the gallery, the first thing you find is music coming from a Steinway Speario, a high-resolution, state-of-the-art player piano. So the grand is sitting there, and there's an empty piano bench in front of it. And the piano keys are jumping up and down hypnotically on their own. But it's Moran's playing, of course, that you're hearing, and it's his finger patterns that you're watching. It's hard to stop staring at those keys. Doubly hypnotic, sound and image. The piano sits in a room, or a kind of suggestion of a room, with a drum kit off to the side and a double bass lying on its edge. It's like a stage set or a diorama, an evocation, not quite a reproduction, of an old 52nd Street jazz club called the Three Deuces, a slice of New York jazz history. One way Moran, born in Houston, Genius Grant recipient, Kennedy Center Artistic Director for Jazz, one way he closes in on the music he writes and plays is through history. Not necessarily as an end in itself, more as a way of finding points of departure for his own work, and his own life, too, which he freely admits was forever changed by hearing the music of Thelonious Monk.
Like, I wouldn't be in New York if it wasn't for Thelonious Monk. I don't think I would have continued playing piano if it wasn't for Thelonious Monk.
In his multimedia piece of more than a decade ago, In My Mind, Moran reflected on Monk and his life and work in New York, using screen projections and audio from archival tapes made in the 1950s.
The whole thing, the bass fill and everything.
His connection to the musicians of the past is powerful.
I feel more connected if I talk about them incessantly. Even, you know, to the point you should just call me traditionalist. Because I want to make sure that I remember them as much as my audience remembers them.
Not necessarily a traditionalist, you would have to say. Moran has long tried to erase the boundaries of art, or at least step over them. In fact, he identifies with painters, the ones who were and are daring, and finds jazz-like impulses in them.
Saul LeWitt, I dare you to challenge my lines that go horizontal, diagonal, and vertical. Or Andy Warhol daring you to challenge the greatness of his Campbell soup.
How visual artists play with the form.
Like a Chuck Close, like, you know, you look at it from a distance, oh, it's just a portrait, until you get close.
Standing at an even greater distance, Moran looks back to pre-civil rights days at how the jazz form deconstructed and reimagined tunes in a manner that was almost political, as if what they were doing to the music was what they wanted to do to society.
You know, it's that they want to break down as much as possible and open everything up. So, like, free jazz comes in the 60s. Like, like, let's open all the doors, you know, rhythmically, harmonically, conceptually, melodically, you know, let's really make this open. That's what everybody supposedly is still striving for.
Jason Moran's show, Closing Soon, reflects his obsession.
This is not a pastime. The music isn't a pastime. It's a thing you hold dear to your heart, as important as your heartbeat.
The beating heart can be felt at the exhibition at the Whitney. It is a stand and watch, or sit and soak it up type of thing. Less like a museum exhibit than a club, a church, or a community gathering. It's warm in there. And cool. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.